Welcome back to Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. You know, if you're looking to update your wardrobe this season, you might head for the mall or wait for a sale or go online, but a lot of smart shoppers are taking advantage of resale or consignment stores. It's one of the hottest trends in fashion these days. Whether online through places like Etsy or eBay or in a place down the block, resale stores can be treasure troves of great fashion for the person with the right eye and a little bit of time. Zoe Washington Chef is our fashion guru. She's a fashion editor and creative consultant for Essence, Elle, and other leading magazines, and the founder of Little Bird, a fashion consulting company focusing on the teen market. Good to see you, Zoe. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. So this resale thing is a thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's a thing. It's a sleeping giant right now in the luxury market, but also just in the retail market.
I mean, and the selection that's available out there is amazingly good.
Yes. I think when people say consignment or resale, people immediately turn to this idea of, okay, dusty bins and sort of old vintage shops and everything's kind of gross. But what's going on is that the industry is really hip to the game. They know that there's people who have elevated tastes and elevated needs. And so what they're doing is they're coming back with smaller, more boutique style designer consignment stores, brick and mortar, or shops online, which is really popular.
That's amazing that it's online. I mean, just this niche, though. I mean, people have really discovered this. First Research, a firm that does this kind of research, estimates that the resale industry in the United States is about $16 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Goodwill. Everybody donates stuff to Goodwill, and some folks go there. I mean, my daughter put herself through college shopping at Goodwill.
Yeah.
10 cents for a shirt and stuff. They did $5.1 billion in retail sales at Goodwill. So this is all through the spectrum, from the low end to the high end.
To the high end. And so what you're seeing is that people are going into Goodwill, and in the face of the customers changing as well. So where it used to be, okay, people would think that these were more charitable organizations, it's becoming a destination because people know that they want a deal and they want to be able to shop at their own leisure and choose from a bunch of different designers, and whether that's contemporary basic or low-end designers, they want to be able to do that at an affordable price. And what's really happening is that companies are coming out online. So you have like Tradesy, for example, or The RealReal, Reese, that are creating this luxury experience, something that is similar to Net-a-Porter or Yuke's or even a traditional model like Bloomingdale's.com. They're taking that experience and applying it to the consignment space. So the customer is going on, and maybe you have the instant trust because you know that the pieces have been authenticated and they have this level of curation about them. It feels like someone has come and, like a buyer for a major department store, has sifted through all the mess. So you don't feel like you're shopping at a grimy consignment store, quote unquote. You're shopping in a very elevated experience, much like any kind of department store.
So if you're online and you see this, you know, Donna Karan dress or something, the credibility of that site hinges on the site saying, yeah, this really is a Donna Karan. It's not a knockoff.
Completely. It's all about the authentication process. So, for example, with The RealReal, when it launched in New York, they had people come to you and actually visit the garment and look at it, see the condition, A, and B, authenticate it. Make sure that this was actually by the designer that it says it is. It isn't some cheap Chinatown knockoff, those types of elements. So, and they sell brands like Chanel, where the authentication is very intense, and that is, and it's necessary because it has to justify the still $1,200 to $1,500 price tag on a designer, you know, resale piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then on.
But that's as opposed to how many thousands
exactly.
It would be if you bought it in a store or whatever.
Exactly. And I think when it first came out, people thought, oh, this is going to influence the way, this is going to take a bite out of luxury retail. But it actually doesn't. And it doesn't in this way, because people will justify now buying a $3,500 Chanel bag, because you know when people say it's an investment, that could just be words like, oh, yes, it's a great investment piece. Labels like Chanel, Celine, vintage Dior, they appreciate with time. So a Chanel bag, for example, that you might have bought in the 80s for $800 or $1,000 right now could very well be worth $3,400.
And that's what you'd pay for it now
at a consignment
shop. And that's what you'd pay for
it now at a consignment site.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily a bargain place.
I mean,
in terms of, you know, you're going to find stuff cheap.
No, you're not necessarily going to find stuff cheap. You'll still find it for a fraction of the price that you would pay in a traditional retail model. But what you're finding is okay, this is an item that's either rare or something that is a hot item. So even H&M collaborations, designer collaborations, go on sale on these designer resale sites, and it's more expensive than if you just actually gone to H&M at the time. But you're not necessarily getting a deal all the time, but you are getting something amazing, and it'll be, quote, one of a kind, because mm-hmm. you won't see tons of people wearing the exact same thing.
Yeah, so it's certainly unique. Mm-hmm. The brick-and-mortar consignment places.
Yes.
You walk into these places, and my wife and daughter are big aficionados of these places, and they see these designer clothes with the labels still on, with the tags still on them. So are you suspect when you see that?
Because
Lord knows what they are.
Right? Oh, no, that shows you, that actually reflects upon our sort of consumer culture. I think within the last 10 years, there was a huge amount of people who were buying things at Bloomingdale's, Neiman Marcus, in mass quantities and not really using them. And I think for a while, people thought the more clothes I have, the more stylish I am. But that's changed. Now people are realizing, okay, well, I should invest in a few pieces, and then I'll supplement that with fast fashion like Zara and H&M and Forever 21. And then when I revisit my closet in 3 years and realize I never wore that, Calvin Klein runway dress, I'm taking it to a consignment store and I get premium cost because it has the tag still on it. Mm-hmm. Unless you're somebody who wears clothes with a tag still on it.
Which I've done by mistake.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the tag says Target.
Exactly.
But when they're consignment, that means that the person who gives the garment gets part of the sale price, right? Is that?
Yes.
That hasn't changed.
That
right?
hasn't changed. And, there's designer consignment, then there's just designer resale where maybe, in New York, there's some great boutiques where you just go and they give you a certain amount of money right off the bat for what you give them. Very much like a Plato's Closet type of model, which is also a huge company. Plato's Closet on the lower end will resell Abercrombie & Fitch, Hollister, Gap, Old Navy, items that you typically don't even expect to be expensive in the first place, but they do it for a different market, the teen market that is a lot more fickle and that maybe might not want to go to H&M or Forever 21 all the time.
And I would imagine that the rise of the consignment and the resale market is expanding the market for fashion, right? Because there's a bunch of people who certainly weren't going to fool with it when it was full retail price, but now they're getting hip to this.
Completely. And I think it's changing the way that people view luxury. So, if I'm going on, Chanel's website, or if I'm going on Neiman Marcus and I see something that's really amazing, I might try to follow it and see if it goes on sale. And if it doesn't go on sale to my liking, I might abandon it and then revisit it on a luxury resale site and see if somebody bought it, didn't like it, and wasn't able to return it later that season or the next season, and I can get it for a fraction of the cost. And there's some great brick-and-mortar stores even here in Baltimore, like Redo in Roland Park is one of my favorite stores, because you go in, and again, you get this personal feeling like it has been curated and edited like any other classic boutique.
Zoe Washington Sheff is a fashion editor and creative consultant for leading fashion magazines and the founder of Little Bird, a fashion consulting company focusing on the teen market. We've got more information about Zoe and Little Bird on our website. Come to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. That's all for us today. Nathan Sterner is Maryland Morning's co-host, director, and engineer. Rob Sivak, Jonna McCone, and Kathleen Cahill produce the broadcast with assistance from Scott Seiss. Our interns are Brooke Savage and Lauren Ferguson. Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville provides us coffee. You can find them online at zekescoffee.com. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote our theme music. Coming up Monday morning, a conversation with Dr. Robert Franklin on imagining justice from the Christian perspective. Plus, a controversial scholar on the role of Islam. We'll see you Monday morning right here on Maryland Morning. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great weekend.
Hoped you would in time. And I know that when you're holding me, it's her that's on your mind. And I know you can't get over her, but I love you nonetheless. but it makes no difference what I do. I'm only second best. Only second best, and that's all I do.